Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. 800-313-9443 is the number. I'm Chris Gerner with American Exposé. American call, spelled with a K, not a C. The other direction to get to my website, our website, is stopagenda21.com. That's stopagenda21.com. We see, once again, Dennis the Menace on the loose. But let's take John in New York. John, welcome to the show.
Hi. Just you guys were commenting on China, and, you know, it's just an unfair playing field to where, you know, China nationalized. They had a revolt of the Cultural Revolution. They just killed all the people with money. It got so bad. And then they froze up all the national assets. And, again, China can come in our country and buy us up, but we can't go in China and buy them up at all. It's protected. You know, people just got to start waking up and looking at those type of items and say, wait a minute, it's good for them but not for us. And, you know, 40% tariff against us and 2% tariff for us, or against us, I mean.
Now, don't you think
China, that is?
Don't you think something's awash about this?
Oh, it's not awash. It's a sellout.
And there you go.
And, you know, well, today, just to give you an example, I got, like, AIDS is made in America, and there's a bunch of blacks on the picture of it, and it tells how it's orchestrated here. Then also I got the microplasma, and I went to the fairgrounds today. They've got a couple fairs coming in our area, in the New York State Fair, so I'll be soliciting different people. Well, I hit Senator Seward today with the 9/11 pamphlets and that kind of information, and it was kind of funny because as I'm handing it to him, he was pretty clean. He was able to stand his ground and have a voice. Four people that were with him were just like walk around with like turkeys with their heads chopped off, like, wow, we can't be seeing him doing this, you know. And but I was able to give the information around the fairgrounds real well, and people just got to start doing that and waking people up.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I don't know, you guys are doing a great job. I appreciate it.
Well, it's a fabulous network. I'm most impressed.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. I'm most impressed with this network. I couldn't have done a better job. I don't know whether anyone else could have done a better job than what John Stadmiller's established with his better half. The pledge number, as that pledge continues to be ongoing at this point in time, 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. And keep in mind, if you want to get involved here today, and I can take your daggers if you like. It's okay. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. The caller earlier in the broadcast was talking about how the Communist Party USA sounds fine. And that's the way it was in Communist or Free China in 1949. The people of Free China stated to Reverend Leslie Millen, that tape you can get from Dr. Stan Monteith, how the Communists took China, and those people were stating that Chiang Kai-shek's administration was so corrupted, just like this administration is so corrupted today. And the people of Communist or Free China said, we've got to give communism a chance. It can't be any worse than what we've got. And that's what Reverend Leslie Millen said in 1965, who lived it, saw it, experienced it. And so here we are in the same circumstance today. We've got this mess in place that is angering everyone. It's this administration now. It was the last administration before President Clinton, and certainly he has a very, very suspicious background in his earlier years as well. Apparently he was groomed to play the position he's playing right now. And right now he's in charge of tsunami relief. Tsunami relief for the tsunami zone in Asia that happened at the end of the year. Was it set off? Well, keep in mind a tsunami bomb was built in 1944. That information's on our weather modification website portion of AmericanExpose.com. Stay with us. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. listeners. We're back with the broadcast. Keep in mind, we have a pledge drive continuing ongoing at this point in time. 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719. Dennis the Menace on the loose on American Exposé again. According to Joyce Morrison, in 2002, May 20th, listeners, she stated that the song America the Beautiful describes the awesome beauty of how God has blessed our nation. We love our beautiful scenic land, so why then are we buying into scenic byways, wild and scenic rivers, scenic trails, and other scenic programs at a risk of losing our personal property rights? Grants and greed oftentimes go hand in hand. Scenic byway programs come into an area with a fast talker and a promise of tourism and lots of grant money. The city fathers think they have a great windfall and do not question how the grants can be used or the strings attached. They just have money to spend and the hope of economic development. After it is too late, the local government finds it is required to use tax dollars from their budgets to police and maintain the restrooms. The grant money is built for the visitors. The COSICs, that's the interpretive signs, cost about $25,000 plus each, and they must be maintained by the county or municipality. Local signs are prohibited along the byway. If you have a business that is near the byway, you are not permitted to have a sign off-site. You are required to rent a tourist-oriented directional sign, a TOD, tourist-oriented directional sign, from the highway department. So much for economic development if you can't advertise, listeners. The byway corridors are virtually all private property. Activities such as building, moving dirt, leasing your property for a phone tower, etc., could be prohibited on if it's interfered with one of the six intrinsic qualities in the view shed. Scenic byways is just another major way to control property rights, according to Joyce Morrison. Listeners, rural areas cannot thrive on tourism. People travel to a destination. Rarely will one drive across the country to access a scenic byway unless it is there as they are traveling through. Statistics from the Chiloka Mounds, Chiloka, Illinois, a World Heritage Site, reports that approximately 75% of their visitors come from within a 100-mile radius. Even a major attraction is limited in the tourism base. The funding for the scenic byway comes from the Federal Highway Department, the FHWA, TEA 21 funds, that's Transportation Equity Act for the 21st century. A major corridor management plan and design guidelines are required. When you follow the money trail, you will find major strings attached to the grant money at the expense of you and me, the property owner listeners. The Federal Register's policy of the FHWA is full of land control language. It states the, quote, local commitment means assurance provided by communities along the scenic byway that will undertake actions such as zoning and other protective measures to preserve the scenic, historic, recreational, cultural, archaeological, and natural integrity of the scenic byway and the adjacent area as identified in the corridor management plan, end quote. Local government will be forced to do this because of the grant money they have spent. Isn't that amazing? The Federal Register says the byway must have a higher standards, enforcement and review, land management techniques such as zoning, easements, and economic incentives. It also says the byway is not only the road itself, but also the corridor through which it passes. The corridor is not only, quote, as far as the eye can see, end quote, but includes the adjacent area. Where would this land control stop is the question Joyce Morrison asks back in May of 2002, listeners. The Scenic Byway Program is part of Scenic America. This is a prime example of how a partnership works. The Scenic America organization is made up of many environmental organizations, which are non-governmental organizations. You've heard them before, NGOs, listeners. They operate from gifts obtained from large foundations, private donations, and government grants. They represent the private end of the partnership and connect with a government agency, which in this case is the Federal Highway Department, the FHWA. And they then provide the funding and enforcement of their program. Thus, a partnership has been formed, and the only role Congress plays is to approve the appropriation for funding to the government agency implementing the program. Scenic America ties with smart growth, listeners, and community character. Their desire is to eradicate signs, utility lines, telecommunication towers, to implement zoning, community character, and land use regulations throughout America. And listeners, you can go to www.scenic.org. That's S-C-E-N-I-C. S-C-E-N-I-C.org. And you can follow the links from there to see just how far along this has gone and come about. Most important to do this as we try to do our best to wake up our country, try to do our best to work together, try to do our best to come to a common direction for working together. The phone number to call, listeners, is 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Let's take Roger in Pennsylvania. Hello, Roger.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Chris.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I did want to discuss one or two other things, but you said one or two snippets which directly by expression or by extension implication are new to me. I'm guessing that it sometime in the past read again, May God Forgive Us, on Robert Welch's book on the turnover of China to the communists. And if what you said about the Chiang Kai-shek and the Kuomintang, the corruption that you aver, then those problems would have, of course, followed or been dragged with Chiang Kai-shek over to the island of Formosa.
Well, listen, this is very, very important because, and Dr. Stan Monteith, he has a show on this network. He's the one that's promoted this tape, which I did not get the tape from him. But I have the tape, and I played it on other broadcasts in the past, years ago, how the communists took China. And this is Reverend Leslie Millen speaking in 1965 about what happened in his experience to all this. And so first-hand experience is one thing that we can't discount. And as these older gentlemen die, we need to take so much of their knowledge before they pass on to pass on to our young people. And that's certainly the way I feel about that. What do you think, Roger?
Yeah, well, I'll have to get access to that tape and listen to that myself. I just found it problematic, the notion, of course, if it was so corrupt and such, why didn't a larger body of the Chinese nationalists just stay behind if they think they would have had it better off under the communists?
Well, I do remember that they left and went to Formosa. They wanted to take back their country, and the armaments that we sent them were very inferior, and actually they did not work.
Yeah, and stuff like no bolts for the rifles, that sort of thing.
And this is the point of all this. The State Department control, the infiltration of our State Department in the 1930s, according to various sources, is very, very erroneous and unfortunately in place today, as Joan Vion, who will be a guest on the 8th of August here, she said the State Department went communist in 1960. Well, it could very well be the State Department went communist in 1940. It could be. And once again, we're dealing with undocumentable directions. It was kind of ironic when the caller called earlier and talked about how the Communist Party USA sounds so fine and dandy, and certainly it does. It sounds just like us. And this is why I bring up the Hegelian dialectic. And then it went right to my U.S. Code statement about the communist conspiracy, and they redesigned the U.S. Code now. So we've got to go search it out and try and get that citing back to get that up on the website, where the federal government says there is a conspiracy, a communist conspiracy, to overthrow the government of the United States. That's the U.S. code speaking, not me. And that's the documentation we need. Go ahead.
I think we have very reasonable knowledge that the State Department was rotten to the core back through as early as the 30s or earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the second point was the one you sort of picked up on there was about communism. Now, of course, G. Edward Griffin tries to avoid the words like socialism or liberalism. He prefers the word collectivism, which is just a minor beef I would have with his magnificence in that there is no such thing as a communist or a liberal who is not, in fact, a collective, both a collectivist and a socialist inherently. Now, I can understand, what's the word I'm looking for, if he prefers to just use the word collectivist as more of a galvanizer for a broader audience. But otherwise, I think it's kind of a distinction without a difference.
Well, it's pins and needles at this point in time, isn't it?
Yeah, if you care to carry me over.
Okay, hold on one second. We'll continue with you. And the number to call, 800-313-9443. Welcome back to the broadcast. 800-724-2719 is the Pledge Drive phone number for Republic Broadcasting. 800-724-2719. Make that pledge to keep this thing rolling. Roger Dodger, continue, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. My point is, in part, there is no such thing as socialism or collectivism or pick your favorite adjective there. Apart from the use of force, including guns if necessary, to separate people from their property. Otherwise, we would use the word volunteerism, ultimately, right?
That sounds pregnant. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. And I was kind of surprised. I thought the word capitalism might have been invented by Adam Smith or a precedent economic theorist. But unless my Encarta encyclopedia is lying there, too, I expect it's correct when it had Karl Marx having cast the word capitalism.
I would like the word free enterprise better, wouldn't you?
Well, I prefer the terms free markets versus controlled markets.
Yes.
Because, in other words, you'll find that socialists slash collectivists, etc., will either deliberately or probably deliberately or deceptively otherwise use less precise, unnecessarily, deceptively vague terms. There is no such thing as any possible economic system that is not capitalistic in that. Capitalism means a production. That could be money, tools, any implements of production, human capital, labor, etc., anything that can go to produce wealth. And so why use a word that applies to all possible economic systems? And then, of course, you have, now is it a free, and any possible economic system is a market economy as well, in that you have places where goods change hands.
Let me ask you now, where are you going with this? Because how does this pertain to the World Trade Organization today?
Well, we realize that these are, in fact, controlled, has nothing to do with free trade. If we were, as the true libertarian stream, Austrian school economists point out, if you had a real free trade treaty, it would require only two or three pages at the most.
Mm-hmm.
But if, on the other hand, you want to set up a trade protection racket for the well-connected, then you need 2,400-some pages to do that.
And haven't we done that?
Yeah, and of course, now this is, of course, an inherently fascist model that is in the truest sense, is you have collusion between business and government. And any, even a boneheaded libertarian 15 years behind like myself and point out that monopolies cannot persist without the express protection of government.
There you go. Well stated, Roger.
Any possible economy is a market economy, of course. So the only question is not whether it's capitalist or whether it's a market economy. Is it a free market or a controlled market?
There
and
you
I would
go.
Hope, like, and particularly on shortwave, where we expect better, that the show hosts would enforce the semantical discipline on themselves and their guests to force the use of those words free or controlled markets, because then it lays it out flat and straight. And God bless Chris.
Okay, thank you, Roger. Appreciate your call. Ah, yes. Oh, well stated. Here we are in a free trade zone, a free trade area of the Americas, NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, listeners. And where did our business and industry go over the last 10 years? Let's take Jeff in Mexico. The number to call, 800-313-9443. Jeff, you're back.
Yeah, I was wondering if you've heard of Lukoil, Russia's largest oil company.
I have.
And they have, like, they've acquired 1,300 Getty gas stations and 800 mobile. A lot of people don't know that the Russian multinational corporations are in the United States like that.
Why do you think that is?
Because the Russians, they're trying to get in on the action, I guess.
Well, you see China buying up industry and owning industry in China, and you see Russia buying up oil firms, and they have a deal with Mexico now where they're going to ship oil to Mexico at a cheaper price than what they're buying from Texas. Well, why do you think this is going on, Jeff? Or what do you think is going to be the end result of this in the long run? Put it that way.
I think some people are going to get more property, and other people they don't have any shares of mutual funds, or they don't have land, they don't have a home, but then other people got... That's why you need a pluralistic multi-party system, like in Russia, where the Communist Party of Russia criticizes, like, Lukoil, when the shareholder profits are at the expense of the propertyless.
You're familiar with the Communist Manifesto, I take it?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of those booklets, Leninist, the imperialism's the highest stage of capitalism and all that.
Well, one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto is the abolition of property rights. You know that, don't you?
Well, see, I'm not for that. I'm for kind of like what that guy just was saying that called before me, that I'm more for a controlled market rather than totally free market.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your thought. We'll continue with the broadcast, listeners. 800-313-9443. Welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Chris Turner with American Exposé. American spelled with a K, not a C. That's the website, AmericanExposé.com. Also, StopAgenda21.com. Take us right to the Agenda 21 site on AmericanExposé.com. The pledge drive number, 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719. As I will take more calls here, the business section in today's Oklahoman... The National Rifle Association launched a boycott Monday of ConocoPhillips in response to the energy giant's attempt to block a state law that stops employers from firing workers who keep guns in their vehicles parked on company lots. Quote, according to NRA Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre, we're going to make ConocoPhillips the example of what happens when a corporation takes away your Second Amendment rights, end quote. He was in southeastern Oklahoma for a rally to support employees fired by Weyerhaeuser company for keeping guns stored in vehicles parked at work. Phone calls to ConocoPhillips headquarters in Houston for comment were not immediately returned. The energy company has more than 3,100 employees in Oklahoma, the majority working at a refinery in Ponca City. LaPierre called on gun owners and consumers to boycott all Conoco and Phillips 66 products and asked Conoco and Phillips 66 retailers to urge the corporation to withdraw the federal lawsuit. Well, everybody's trying to do their best. I'm very, very concerned about our firearms rights, always have been, and you always have to take it back to State Department Publication 7277 from 1961, 1962, Blueprint for the Peace Race. The implementation of that was engineered and completely disarming our country and the world is the goal of the State Department with the UN system. That is just the way it is. It's on the books. Public laws are in place. It's in the U.S. Code. I've covered it in the past. And that is the situation. And according to Joyce Morrison, and this is December 1st of 2004, listed in one of the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto is, quote, the abolition of private property and the application of all rents of land to public purposes, end quote. And she goes on to state, as we keep demanding more tax dollars be spent on buying property for forest, open space, and parks, we tend to forget that in the United States, it has long been a constitutional right for the people to own the land. In socialist and communist nations, the government owns the land. Real estate taxes pay for our schools and local governments. As tax base decreases, the tax burden increases on the remaining property owners, while across the nation, counties and school districts are in deep financial trouble. What will be the solution? There's the question she asks. Well, let's take Jim in Michigan. Jim, welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Looking at you talk about the property. Okay, here in America, I mean United States, which I believe our current administration is trying to make this one global nation, you know, with Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
You better believe
it. With no borders.
That's correct.
And you spell America with a K.
That's correct.
That's my, remember that show that was on TV about that 20 years ago?
It was shown one time in 1987, America, mm-hmm. with Kris Kristofferson, I believe.
Right, yeah.
And that was a shocking movie.
Right, and they never showed it again, only one time.
That's correct.
Christine Lottie was in that, too.
Well, let me tell you, that needs to be shown in every public school in America, I think, today.
That's right, because this is where our country's heading.
Sorry to say.
But, you know, the thing is, I was looking at our rights owned property. Even though you did mention about how our taxes pay for the schools.
Yeah.
Property taxes pay for the schools.
Yeah.
Why is it we are asked to vote for millages to keep the schools going? I mean, if our property taxes are paying for the schools, why do they ask us to come around and vote for millages to keep the schools going? See, it's like a double dipping there.
It is in a way, isn't it?
And another thing, too, is, you owning property, if you own your home free and clear, your land free and clear, you have no financial debts to any banks or loan institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know where you're going. Go ahead.
And yet, if you don't pay that tax to the government after 2 or 3 years,
out the door.
They'll take it right back from you. So how do you say you actually own that thing?
There you go. They take your property from you, all equity in that property.
Mm-hmm.
You never get compensated for it if you don't pay your property taxes.
That's right. And then
okay, here's the point, Jim. What are we living in today?
We're living in a kind of more or less a socialistic, it's sort of a communistic socialistic barrier that's crushing in on us.
It's trying to destroy
the democracy.
There you have it. And actually,
the republic, as you say.
There's the word republic. That's where the word republic broadcasting comes from. And that's why it's so vital to keep this network growing, because there is an opportunity with this network to grow into something substantial to help turn the tide, I think.
Well, there's just you out there, and I know Alex Jones is another one that I say more power to him, that he keeps promoting freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to have these networks out here, and shortwave, that's why I receive you on the shortwave. Mm-hmm. Shortwave radio is a good thing to have, even though I know our present administration, the FCC, would like to abolish shortwave.
Yeah.
Broadcasting here in the United States.
There are a handful of restrictions keeping shortwave stations and from growing, too, which I'm not mm-hmm. aware of. But my friend out here in Oklahoma is very tuned into that. And just a handful of restrictions can be dropped to set up other shortwave stations.
Okay. So, well, anyways, I just wanted to make my point across there. I know there's other callers wanting to get in, but we do have to remember that we are being bombarded. We are being, you know, we are being lied to, and you know, they say that that the old about the Red Menace coming in here. The Red Menace is here. It's been coming in for at least the last 50 years.
Amen.
McCarthy, Senator Joe McCarthy warned us, and you know what they did to him. The people that are pushing us today, they called him a troublemaker and an anarchist.
And McCarthy was right on the money.
He was right on the money, right on the button.
There you go.
Okay.
Way to go.
Thank
you for your call.
Okay.
Very, very good. And this is the point, listeners. Joe McCarthy was correct. Darren Weeks.net on our website has information on that on the left side of his website. McCarthy was correct. I have a recording of Joseph McCarthy in 1954. I'll try to play in the very near future. And back to Joyce Morrison, way back in December of 2004, he says the federal government currently owns 671.8 million acres in the United States, while adding more acres daily. 57% is used for forested wildlife, 21% for grazing, 14% for parks and historic sites, and 8% is listed as remaining uses. Land trusts and groups such as the Nature Conservancy are gobbling up private land at an alarming rate. They are also buying conservation easements, which is worse than buying the property outright. Gretchen Randall of Wintergreen LLC reports the federal government owns about a third of all land in the U.S., most of it in the western states. States with the largest percentage of federal land ownership as of September 30th of 2003 are Nevada, 91.9%, Wyoming, 50.6%, Alaska, 66.7%, Arizona, 50.2%, Utah, 66.5%, Oregon, 49.7%, Idaho, 66.4%, and California, 46.9%, and certainly I understand how California went down the drain as I lived there most of my life. Very sorry to see it fall to the wayside to the federal system. And boy, I keep going back to my days on the motorcycles. That California desert was just wonderful. What experiences racing through that desert and riding, play riding, not necessarily racing, but just that was the most fun of all, is going out and just riding for fun and enjoyment. And visiting ghost towns and just fascinating stuff. I remember so well, and I miss it. I miss it. And they closed down so much of the desert back in 1970 and on. It just was just a sad occurrence. But once again, back to Joyce Morrison, state and local government land holdings added to federal ownership, making it as easy to see why the tax base to pay for schools and local government keeps shrinking. Illinois ranks as the 46th state with government-owned lands, ranked as one of the leading agricultural states in the nation. The largest portion of Illinois remains in privately owned farmland, with slightly over 4% of the state in government ownership. That small percent is about to change, however, because the Forest Service may begin land acquisition in the Illinois Ozarks to add more acres to the Shawnee National Forest. Dick Durbin, U.S. Senator from Illinois and member of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee, approved spending $850,000 for land acquisition for the Shawnee. The appropriation is for property in Jackson, Union, and Alexander counties west of Interstate 57. Funding for the acquisitions will become available following one more Senate hurdle. Landowners in the area have been contacted by the U.S. Forest Service representatives. The land most desirable to the Forest Service is reported to be adjacent to designated wilderness areas and along designated scenic river corridors. Anyone who owns land that borders government land will almost always have an ongoing battle against extended regulations. After a long hassle, property owners wear down and become willing sellers, listeners. Horse riders and campground owners might be asking why the government needs to buy more land when the Forest Service has already placed restrictions on creek crossings and trail riding in the Shawnee. If the parks are for the public, why are there more restrictions for the public to have access? Even government employees are saying government land is not being managed and much is neglected. Personal cuts will have more government land abandoned. Why does the government want to keep hoarding more property? It is a known fact the private landowner is the best conservationist and caretaker of the land. And there you have it, listeners. That is the point. Property ownership brings pride to the individual who owns the property, listeners. This is it. And this is the point. Even government employees are saying government land is not being managed and much is neglected. Personal cuts will have more government land abandoned. Why does the government want to keep hoarding more property? And once again, it is a known fact the private landowner is the best conservationist and caretaker of the land. So while tourism seems to be the promotion for acquisitions and land control, such as scenic byways, the measures for conservation and biodiversity and sustainable use of its components says, quote, the rapid growth in tourism has produced more infrastructure, increased pollution, put unsustainable demands on local environments, and created adverse impacts on biodiversity, end quote. It further states, quote, ecotourism can contribute to pressures on biodiversity through serious trail erosion, end quote. So it is believed that tourism and grants are the bait. Once officials have taken the bait, the trap will be closed. You will be told that tourists harm the ecosystem or biodiversity, and the areas will remain unsustainable. Like the trails, government areas will be closed to tourists. Three Arizona congressmen are backing a House proposal to lower federal spending to buy more land for the federal government. Keep in mind, this is December of 2004, listeners. Congressman Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona, Trent Franks, Republican of Arizona, and John Shadegg, Republican of Arizona, have joined other fiscal conservatives in backing a $121 million cut, according to a Wintergreen LLC report. The Senate version of the Department of Interior Appropriations contains a $215 million increase for land purchase. Montana, which is 37.5% state and federally owned, has decided not to lose more private land. Montanan Clarice Ryan has been diligent in the battle to protect private property and has shared what State Representative Rick Menge said Republicans are doing to keep having more of their land from slipping into the hands of the federal government. Menge said, quote, in the next session, I'm offering a bill which will ban the federal government from buying more land by using federal constitutional means, prohibiting any person of the state from selling to the federal government without local government consent in accordance with the terms of state law, end quote. Quote, the purpose is to protect the sovereignty of the state and protect its property tax base, end quote. Menge continued, quote, that is the only constitutional way to stop federal land acquisition in the states. Simply prohibit the sale to the feds, because one cannot ban the purchase side of the deal, end quote. Other states might find it beneficial to follow Montana's lead, according to Joyce Morrison, listeners. We do not want our legislators to bring home more pork dollars to buy more private property. Or do we choose to remain sovereign? We have big decisions to make and action to take as our land is slipping away to never again be in the hands of private ownership. And there is the crux of the problem. And certainly, Agenda 21 is something to address by all of us. It's not my thing. It's no one's thing. It's everyone's thing. It's everyone's situation. And yet it remains the best kept secret in the world. That is the point. Agenda 21 is the best kept secret in the world. It's been complained by some that I talked too much about Agenda 21 in the past. Well, what is there not to talk about? Agenda 21 is the plan for humanity in the 21st century. It's like the NAFTA corridors. These corridors are gigantic. They're going to be 10 miles wide. It's going to go all the way up I-35, near I-35, alongside I-35, not right next to it. 10 miles wide. The highway itself will be a quarter mile wide, but the view shed makes it 10 miles wide, listeners. And it's going to be billions of dollars in the making, listeners. We'll be back. Parting shots, 800-313-9443. John Stadmiller will be back live coming up. Stay with us. To visit the site of the biological inventories of the world's protected areas. That's the ICE Biological Inventories of the World's Protected Areas. It's on the website, AmericanExpose.com. Begin your search of biosphere reserves, listeners. It's your country. It's your republic. It's been democratized on purpose. Lauren, welcome to the broadcast, Lauren.
Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Hey, I wanted to thank you, too. You were kind enough to come to a community-focused program we have here in Ohio, and because you were on there, there was a community plan that was getting ready to go through. This has been held up now. So I just want people to know, you can stop this stuff. You can let people know what's going on so that they say, wait a minute, this is not in our interest. It was actually supposed to be voted on, and people were very upset because they said, we've already discussed it, and we need to vote. And they said, no, we need to slow down here and see what is really involved in all this. So I just want to thank you for that.
And where does it start? But in your local community, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and it starts individually, man to man to man, and I'm talking human, okay, for the women.
Right.
I'm a woman. Okay?
Yeah, you have it.
We're humans, but we're ignorant humans. So
yes.
What we need to do is educate ourselves, and you do not speak too much on Agenda 21. That is the linchpin here. Now, I wanted to just mention something. That man that called up the socialist and the other one that called up about you have a right to eat and we should share everything equally, that's a bunch of nonsense. If a man doesn't raise his hand, then a man doesn't have any fruit to show for it. Socialism doesn't work, and it's never worked anywhere in the world, and it's ridiculous to have adults that think that it can work. Now, how did we get these adults that think that it can work? Could it be we put them in public schools, where we spend half the state budget? I'm in the state of Ohio, the state, $25 billion of the $50 billion budget is for education.
Wow.
Yet when they tested the children in about 1996, I think was the reading standards, the state tests, 76% of the fourth graders couldn't read on level. So you're spending half of the state budget, $25 billion with a B dollars, and the children can't even read.
Lauren, don't you think there's a conspiracy in this country?
That's the thing. It's not even a conspiracy, and it's our fault. If you have your children in those schools, and you don't understand that they're lying to your children in those schools, and you don't want to bring your children home and teach them the truth yourself, then you get the fruit of what you've done, which is adults that grow to be 40, 50, 60 years old, and are socialists, and are just... This is disgusting.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I just grabbed my children's math book. I said, bring me your math book. I have a 1952 math book. I'm going to just read you this real fast.
Conserving
our forests. They're talking about the amount of land in the country, 1,920,000,000 acres of land, okay? Mm-hmm. National forest, this is a table of the number of acres owned by the national, state, and local governments.
Mm-hmm.
180 million acres of national forest, 14 million acres of state forest, 4 million acres of town forest. That equates to about 10% of the land in the country owned by the government. Your recent statistic that you just mentioned was about, what did you say, 33%?
Actually, almost 50% at this point.
Almost 50%?
In many states. In many states, even more, yes.
Okay, well, this book was in 1952, so you got 50 years out, and what do you got? You got from 10% to half.
More
now
land control.
You're going to look up, and there'll be nothing left for you to own, which means you will be a thief, you'll be a slave on the Lord's land, on somebody else's land.
Thank you, Lauren. I certainly appreciate your thoughts. John Stadmiller next, listeners. The Pledge Drive, 800-724-2719. Good afternoon. ¶¶